It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, 9 o'clock hour. It is your home for Kansas City sports. We are almost done with the show and almost on our way to a fun, fulfilled, stressless weekend until Saturday night.
Yeah, until Saturday night. Today's going to be a good one. My daughter plays soccer tonight at 8 o'clock, so we'll get to watch some soccer tonight and then, you know, pace all day tomorrow, maybe pick up some dog poop or something like that out the yard and get ready for 5:38 first pitch, Royals-Yankees.
From the 816, pretty ignorant to say only two games matter in a three-peat with all our elite talent out. Thanks for understanding the concept of the bit.
Enjoy Friday, bro.
Mm-hmm. So, 816, I apologize that you don't get the bit because it's called in script. Where, anyways, let's get to the Richard of the Week.
Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
All right. So I'll start this off. I love this bit. For those of you that are After Hours fans, I appreciate you all. And you know this bit quite well as we bring it into Fesco and Dusty on here at 96.5 The Fan. It is the Richard of the Week. This one is even worse because of the result of this series. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but there was a Brewers fan this week that apparently has a lot of explaining to do with his wife and his family.
Ooh, I didn't see this.
This Brewers fan was mocked and gimmicked by the announcers of the game. Again, I don't know if this was real or fake. I'm pretty sure it's real. But it says, in a sign that this man is holding up, it says, first baby due today.
Oh, this guy, yeah.
He says, am I having a boy-girl playoff win? And he checkmarked playoff win. He skipped the birth of his child.
Right.
First child to attend a Brewers and Mets playoff game.
Wild card playoff game.
It says, the Milwaukee fan made an interesting life decision Wednesday to attend game two of the Brewers wild card series against the New York Mets at American Family Field. Wearing Brewers visor and holding up a onesie, the fan sign revealed that he was attending the playoff game despite his first baby being due Wednesday. The bottom of the sign said, P.S. Thanks, honey. Now, come on.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, okay, you're just a loser if you're doing something like that, man.
And John Shambi said, wow, that's love right there. I'm assuming he's going to get a phone call if necessary and we'll bolt out of here, you would think.
No chance that guy's leaving the game early to go watch his kid be born.
I don't know the results of this story. A lot of people have said that this was one of those things where it could be fake, but I don't think it would be. I don't know why you would fake a sign like that to me.
Well, because you're a narcissist and you want to be on TV.
Yeah, clicks.
I don't have children, but I can promise you right now, boys, I don't care if we had Patrick Mahomes, Brett Veach, and Clark Hunt on this show. If my future wife was giving birth on that morning, I would not be here.
No, you would not be here. I wouldn't let you be here.
I don't care if I had a front row seat to the, if I was in Crown Vision, or not Crown Vision, but the Crown seats behind the whatever they're called these days. Game 7, 3-3, Royals and whoever, I'm at the hospital.
You're at the hospital. Yeah. No, there's no doubt. Yeah.
This guy is an absolute, absolute Richard for not being there. If it was like child number 3, I might give you some flack. But you're a father. Mac, you'll be a father. You probably not missed your child's birth. You never will. You got to be there for your lady. You got to be there to be the hold the child.
Right.
You got to be there for the family. your Brewers have now lost to the Mets. You have two losses, and I wouldn't be surprised if this guy's paying child support in 3 years.
Now, if you are choosing a sporting event over your wife and the birth of your child, you are a loser. I mean, you just really are a bad human being. That's the way I'm going to look at that one. And I will say this. My wife and I actually have had this conversation recently, and she said, we have 5 years left. She goes, we're not missing anything. And I said, no, I'm not. I mean, I'm not missing an eighth grade football game, a freshman soccer game, or tennis match, or any of that stuff.
What about a jazz concert?
No, I'm not missing that, but they're not in the band, so I'm good with that. But I'm just not missing that stuff because you only have a limited lifetime. I think my entire childhood growing up, my parents missed one event that I put on, and I will never let them forget it. Patterson, New Jersey, swim meet, they did not show up, and I still resent them to this day for that. I'm kidding. But like
Bob and a Speedo, man.
You don't want to miss it. I sat in an inner tube. It was great. It was fantastic, right? Like, you got to be there for your kids. That's the number one most important thing in life. Sports is there to give you the outlet and all that kind of stuff. But if you choose not to show up for something for your kids because you're doing something mm-hmm. for yourself, and especially a birth of a child, that's just a very selfish way to go.
How about this text from the 970? Just because the baby is due that day doesn't mean the baby is actually going to be born on that day.
Yeah.
But I bet she was probably having contractions in the hospital. So right.
You guys can go
link up together and be good friends and single the rest of your life. If you want to do that,
you really are texting that, and you're a loser too. Like I hate to say that, but you are. Like you know, the baby's going to be born this day. There's a good chance that this baby's coming out today.
The game can wait.
Yeah. I'll be there by your side because you don't know. I mean, once your wife starts the contractions and the water breaks, I remember when our first child was born and I got up that morning to go to the gym and I kissed my wife goodbye. I'm like, God, your breath is kicking, right? And I left, and about a half hour later, she calls me. She goes, my water broke. And I'm like, okay, right in the middle of the workout, got home. Yeah. Like, go, take her to the hospital, running red lights, driving crazy on the highway, speeding, didn't care. Get there, boom, 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 baby comes. Boom, boom, there's the baby-free granola bars for dad, and we're on our way. Wow. Like, it's not that hard to be a good parent. It really isn't. And so I don't appreciate anybody like that guy who's like, I'm skipping my kid's birth to be at this playoff game.
Good parent and good husband, right? I mean, come on.
Well, yeah.
Be there for your wife. That's such a big moment. Yeah. That's Richard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bob, you want to go next?
Yeah, I will. Mine is pretty simple, and it's been bothering me for a while now. It's kind of been festering a little bit. It's simple. You're a Richard if you don't say thank you. And whatever it is, if somebody holds a door for you, or if you go above and beyond and do something for somebody, or you just do something for somebody where they ask you to do something and they don't say thank you. And it really bothers me more than anything. It's not hard. It doesn't cost anything. If somebody does something for you or something you ask them to do, be a human being and respond, thank you for getting this done. Thank you for holding the door. Thank you for doing whatever it was. It's not hard to say thank you. And people who don't say thank you suck and are Richards and Richardettes.
Those two words go a long way, too.
Very long way. Yes.
Got a server, bringing you back your water. Thank you. Anything. Yeah. You don't know what's going on.
It just isn't hard.
Dusty says it every day. What is it? You know, little goes a long way or whatever you say. It's nice. Mine would be the one person who didn't vote for Caitlin Clark, Rookie of the Year. You're an absolute Richard, and you're an idiot. 66 of the 67 voters voted for Caitlin Clark. She would have been the first unanimous Rookie of the Year, I believe, in the WNBA. And the one person who didn't vote for her, you're Richard, and you're just stupid. And you're doing this on your own personal vendettas. That's the only reason you didn't vote for her. Mm-hmm. There's no way you watched basketball. You watched this season of WNBA, and one of the most historic seasons, one of the most historic players entering the league, and you don't vote for her Rookie of the Year. You're a Richard. You're an idiot.
Yeah, it's probably the same person who didn't vote for George Brett Nolan Ryan for the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Idiot.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. LOL, you guys don't even know the story. Call me a loser, LOL. No, buddy, I can see your text history. You think C-Doc gets paid to go to big games.
He gets what?
He thinks C-Doc gets paid to go to Royals games by Odyssey.
Why would Odyssey pay him to go to games?
I don't know. That's the same guy that told us we don't know the story. So apparently he knows our job. He's
one of those guys.
Enjoy your day, sir. Yeah. I hope you have a good one. Go do something nice for somebody, though. I take back the fact we called you a loser. That's my nice trait to you. Now you go do something nice. I call your bluff.
Because he won't do anything nice for somebody.
Well, I hope he does. I'm being positive. But yeah, that's our Richards of the Week right there. How do you not vote for Caitlin Clark, Rookie of the Year?
Well, because you
stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, how did Ken Griffey Jr. only get like 97% of votes? Well, he missed so much time. He doesn't need to be a Hall of Famer. Okay.
Okay, fine.
Did Brett didn't even get 100%
votes. No, that's
what
I just said.
I'm just saying,
Nolan Ryan like got 99% of the vote.
Mariano the only one that's got 100%?
Mariano Rivera.
And Jeter?
I can't remember if Jeter got 100% of the vote or not. I wish there was a way to look that up. Like, we had like a device or something we could look at and see. I know Mariano Rivera got 100%. And if you didn't vote for Mariano Rivera, you're just a Richard, too. I mean, he was the greatest closer that we've ever seen. Maybe the greatest high-leverage athlete of all time.
Yeah. Jeter fell one vote short.
Okay, so the same guy didn't vote for Derek Jeter. Probably A-Rod voted in that. Yeah. I just the personal vendettas that people hold when they do that. That's why the Hall of Fame stuff kind of bothers me. First of all, they only allow writers to do it, which is ridiculous. Second of all, people hold personal grudges over whether or not somebody should be in the Hall of Fame. Somebody asked me about Pete Rose again the other day, right? Like, because he died. And they're like, well, the lifetime ban's over. They should lift the lifetime ban. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. Let him back into baseball. That's fine. His lifetime is over. But I said, I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame because he was doing things as manager of the Reds that you could clearly tell years later he was gambling on those games. And when he was making lineup changes or putting people in that weren't expected to be in that day or changing the pitching rotation and all that kind of stuff, you're jeopardizing other guys' careers by doing stuff like that and putting them in jeopardy. So Pete Rose had an adverse effect on so many people because of his gambling habit. That's why, for me, he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
Well, and I hate the anonymous voting, too. You know, that one person did vote for Caitlin Clark or show yourself. Who are you?
Who
come
are
on.
You?
Tell us why.
Somebody says, but then somebody from the 913 says people don't vote for unanimous elections just so their name gets out there and people talk about
sometimes
them.
Sometimes people will say they did not vote for so-and-so. I hope this person comes out and tells you who it was that didn't vote for, and gives you a reason why.
Why?
We'll bring another person out, Jay Binkley, who does a lot and probably more than anyone here at the station. Will join us for this week's version of the Roundtable here on Fesco and Dusty at 96.5 The Fan. I got to go. My future wife's getting ready to have birth here on your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That dude was high on something.
He was high on college football. College football with Binkley. They're throwing a charm, talking ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football with Jay Binkley. Got the chow in, wearing them short track style shorts.
I heard he almost played football in Nebraska.
He used to call Bobby Bowden and ask for football informational nuggets with barbecue sauce.
Jay knows more about high school football than you know about your family.
B-Dub.
Call Jay Binkley.
Call Bink. College football with Binkley. They're throwing a child, talks a ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football with Jay Binkley.
That's right. The man, the myth, the legend is joining us on the Roundtable, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Jay Binkley here. You got a big show tonight with Sean Barber at 105th and Metcalf. Right?
Yeah, the Buffalo Wild Wings. It was Thursdays each week in September. Now it'll be on Fridays for the rest of the year.
Nice.
We did it because Roy's off on Thursday, right?
So
that's when we did it. Mitch Schwartz, I do believe he might be at that Cal game because he's a Cal alumni. Because that's where College Game Day is going to be. So
first time ever.
Yeah, so Sean Barber, it was one of the five schools that had never done it. So Sean Barber is in this week and next week.
Yeah.
And he'll be in like four or five of them, or six of them, Sean Barber will be. So it'll be me and Barber at the Fans Football Show. And it's a ton of fun. We enjoy it. We enjoy everything except for the Richard of the Week last week. They came up to Mitch Schwartz and I's table wearing a Dallas Cowboys shirt. Mm-hmm. It was on Thursday Night Football.
Right.
He's like, why is the Chiefs station here? We're here to watch the Dallas Cowboys game. I mean, it's
Kansas City, pal. Sit back down.
We're in Kansas City, and Dallas sucks.
Yeah.
And he kept going on and on. I was like, do you honestly want to take a chance at Mitch Schwartz and I just pounding the absolute hell out of you?
Yeah.
I would just go away.
So he just kept going.
Yeah, he kept going. Yeah, he kept talking and being annoying. I mean, just being really annoying. It's like, dude, you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. Go away.
Yeah, go sit to the other side of the room and watch with the other fan.
This
here.
Is Kansas City, man. Yeah. In case this is Winter USA right here, Titletown.
That's come right. It is Titletown USA. And look, this is where we are right now, Jay. I mean, we're a quarter through the season, roughly. I mean, it's hard to do that now with 17 games. So, like, after the first quarter on, you know, Monday night will be officially a quarter of the way through the season. But they're sitting at 4-0 right
now. At halftime,
now.
Though, Bob. Halftime.
Is it halftime? Okay. Yep. So they're sitting at 4-0 right now. And obviously, it's kind of not the season we expected from an offensive standpoint with all these injuries right now. Mm-hmm. But sitting at 4-0, Jay, you got to be pleased with what you've seen, because not only are they not playing great on offense, but the defense has been dominating. And I think this has kind of become a defensive league overnight.
No, it really has. And it's fun to watch. And I've always said, you know, good teams find a way to win close games. Great teams do it consistently. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Chiefs do. The Royals and Chiefs, they're this cardiac, man. The cardiac units of this town have to be full.
Right.
But they find ways. I've seen so many teams find ways to lose at the end. It's that championship culture. It's that championship DNA. When you feel that, because a lot of teams start sinking in the back of your mind, like if you're down, like, you know, we're going to lose what I'm eating for dinner tonight, that kind of thing. But the Chiefs are like, okay, how are we going to figure out how to win this game? And that's the whole mindset and mentality of them. And it's fun to watch. And the other thing is, too, you know, I put it on Twitter the other day, like, Mahomes has lost four times in his career, his entire career. And we're in the seventh year of him starting, where the team has lost by more than one score. What I mean by a touchdown, 2-point conversion. Mm-hmm. And I said this as I'm sitting there watching Josh Allen get his ass kicked. And I'm sitting there saying, we're watching good quarterbacks each and every week in this league just get pounded. Mm. Like, that doesn't happen to the Chiefs. They are so tough to beat, man. If you're an opposing coach, you're thinking, how the hell are we going to beat this team? We got to play nearly perfect. That's what the Chiefs get in your mind, because you think you have to play nearly perfect. But, I mean, Tom Brady, I'd see him get blasted 34-10 by the Lions at times. That just does not happen to the Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. It's amazing how they've been able to keep games so close.
Well, what I think is really amazing, though, Jay, about all of this is they're doing it with a negative turnover ratio, too. I think they're -4, and they're 4-0.
Yeah, like, and they were bad at that last year.
I know, and they still find ways to win. And I'd like to say, imagine if they didn't turn the football over. But, I mean, they would truly be an unbeatable team if they just protected the football.
It's like those case.
Yeah.
They once had a bad experience, or once had a close game, just see what it felt like.
It's right.
Like the Chiefs are like, now the Chiefs are giving the ball away. It was an advantage. Like, it's just trying to make this thing close. But if they put things together, just like Andy Reid after the game, you know, last week, where he's sitting there in the locker room saying, we're just that close to putting this whole thing together. And they really are. I mean, because you sit there and you watch it. But every week I sit here and I'm like, all right, we've seen this before. Like, Atlanta will go down and score a touchdown. I was like, okay. What were the Chiefs going to do to win this game? Is it going to be Butker kicking a game-winning field goal? What's going to happen? But it's been defensive stand lately, which has been absolutely fun to watch.
Who's the guy that steps up this week with the Rice absence? Do they go over the top with Worthy more often? Do they run Worthy across, or do we see kind of a surprise Juju game?
And then that's one thing. Yeah, I think Worthy on this crossing pattern, that's what he was known for at Texas. He was a very, very good route runner at Texas, and I've heard some say, well, he's got to learn all the routes. No. Watch University of Texas film last couple of years. He's a very, very positive route runner. But, yeah, I think we'll see him more. I think teams will eventually start to respect that ability, and I think it'll only help the Chiefs in the long run, because if you're stretching the field, then they won't put all the safeties up closer to the line. It spreads that defense out more. I think it's going to be Worthy. I think Kelsey, more added role onto that. I could see Noah Gray sprinkling. The Chiefs just find a way to sprinkle the ball around. Kareem Hunt gets him out of the backfield. They'll utilize running backs out of the backfield. They'll try to manufacture their way down the field. I'm not saying like a Justin Watson is going to step up and do the deal. I just think that it'll just be a little bit more spread out.
You mentioned Noah Gray, and I was talking to somebody yesterday about that, and they paid him for, like, bizarrely paid Noah Gray, right?
Randomly, like right before the season started.
What is going on here? Noah Gray. Yeah. Okay, fine. So, but that being said, like, you expect more out of Noah Gray. What can they do to get more out of Noah Gray?
Well, nothing. I think you see what you get. And we've seen better production each and every year. Like, his rookie year really didn't do much.
Right.
It was like 10 catches, 11 catches, and it's more production. But he is reliable and does catch the football, which is a good thing with Noah Gray. I just think you look at the box score at the end, you'll see 7, 8, 9 receivers, catch footballs, because I do believe they'll lean heavily on throwing the running backs out of the backfield, and they'll figure out ways to do it, whether it's Xavier Worthy on jet sweeps, trying to get Kelsey, more acclimated to the game like they did in Los Angeles, and Justin Watson getting that one or two catches, you know, down the field, that one for 45 and the other one for 15, 20. I could see him doing that as well. The Juju thing and stuff like that, I'm not expecting anything. Right. I'm saying, well, Juju's going to go. No. No, Juju is what he is.
You know, Mitch Holtus, voice of the Chiefs, joins us every Friday at 7:30, and I know you love listening to that, right,
Mitch
Jay?
Mitch is awesome.
He's the best, right? And he had made a comment to us, which I thought was, okay, I agree. He goes, Andy's going to have to get back to where he was in, like, preseason of 2022. You know, right after they traded Tyreek Hill. What are we going to do? Oh, my God, how are we going to score points on offense? And we know the rest of the story. They figured it out just fine and have won two straight Super Bowls since. But with this roster where it is right now with no Hollywood Brown, no Rashee Rice, who knows how long he's going to be out right now. You've got no Isaiah Pacheco. Those are three big weapons that you thought you were going to have. If you're Andy Reid and he came to you and said, hey, Bank, what do you think we should do from an offensive standpoint? What puts us in best position to win? What would you tell Andy Reid as the best way to kind of devise an offense right now with the talent they have to go out there and win games?
I kind of like this mindset of this tough physical, just leaning into what this team is. That offensive line is nasty. Like Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey and those dudes, they like to pound you into the ground. I mean, it's something that every week it's pancakes served with this offensive line, but the running game. You know, they can do it. And the Chiefs have shown games where they can run the ball, just, you know, more predicated on running the football than sprinkling in that Xavier Worthy down the field when that defense starts to respect your running game so much and they're creeping up the line. I would concentrate on the running game. It's kind of funny because Andy Reid has just learned every single way how to win a game because of being without players. Their defense is changing on him. Mahomes even, you know, he's seeing everything as far as what teams do, but you know, Andy Reid, the running game, like to see a lot more of the running game. They have the guys to do it. I know Pacheco's not there, but Kareem Hunt can do it. Get in the ball a lot more. Clyde's coming back, even though I'm not expecting much from there. But Carson Steele, just keep pounding it because it really takes the life out of a defense when the Chiefs are able just to, you know, get those 3 and 4 yards or move the chains. But he's seen everything. And what's funny is how they had to switch. Like, the whole mindset of the Chiefs was when Hollywood in training camp, it was Hollywood Brown, it was Xavier Worthy, man, this team is going to stretch the field. And then all of a sudden, they completely had to change what they were. I mean, they thought they were one thing,
right?
And now they're not. They thought they had a Corvette, and they're driving a Toyota Camry.
Nothing wrong with that. A very nice, reliable automobile.
No, it is nice, reliable, but they thought they had this.
Or a Subaru.
They thought they had the ZR1.
And now Subaru Outback.
Neon green that parks sideways in our parking lot.
Person's wearing Birkenstocks.
With no socks. You know those things got a funk. Let's switch over. I'm interested to know what really gets Binkley going on Saturday. Obviously, the Royals play at 5:38. There's a big one in College Station this weekend, buddy.
That's what she said.
That's right. There is a massive game for the Missouri Tigers this Saturday.
Yes.
How do you think this goes? They have played 4 games this year, all at home, a bunch of cupcakes. They go on the road. They go play.
I would use that cupcake term lightly.
So Vanderbilt's good. Boston College is, I guess, the best team they played. Buffalo's good. Tennessee Milrow.
Well, here's the thing. A couple weeks ago when they played.
Sounds like a bakery to me.
Well, put it this way. A couple weeks ago when they played Boston College, it was one of 2 games in college football pitting 2 ranked teams.
Sure.
This weekend, Missouri's playing the only game between 2 ranked teams. So they've had, you know, they had the spotlight a couple of times, but I mean, 2.5-point dogs, you know, at A&M. It's a tough place to play. We know that. I mean,
be a dog.
If they lose that game, is the season over?
No, not with Missouri and the SEC.
Because you got to think they're not winning that game in Tuscaloosa. There's no way they win against Alabama. Not for what we saw what they did against Georgia. I don't see it.
The only thing, if it could harken back to, what was it, 2013, Gary Pinkel, when he was trying to build that program, they won in Georgia.
Jumbo.
And it was always seeming like, because they were like, that's right. But that was that game put, you know, kind of Missouri on the map, and it parlayed them into, what, 2 straight SEC title game appearances. Yeah. But going down there to A&M, it's going to be a tough game. They all know that. Missouri is a better team than Texas A&M. But the one thing is, the interesting thing is, they have this quarterback that's this freshman, Marcel Reed. Mm-hmm. But Connor Wiegman's their starter, but he's been hurt. But they said he's coming back. Well, this Marcel Reed has started 3 games. He's a dual threat, one of the best dual threat quarterbacks in the country. His sister works for the University of Missouri.
Ooh.
And so for the football department. So we like drink ones, won't let it go. But they're being coy on who's going to be their starter with Texas A&M. But that's the 11 a.m. game. I'm really, really looking forward to that game.
It's going to be a good one. Probably the best game of the weekend in college football.
I'm just happy it's at 11. I get to start that Saturday off with that.
Saturday with that, right?
And then I can get a nice nap in between the Royals game.
Absolutely.
Sure. Then Nebraska Rutgers, 2:30.
But
I'll go through the whole slate if you want me to.
Yeah, we're good.
6:30 Iowa State Baylor. But we're gonna be
watching.
Tennessee.
We're gonna be watching the Royals.
Tennessee 6:30 Mac Dog.
We're gonna be watching the Royals at 5:30.
And, I am too.
And you are how old?
I am about 27.
No, honestly, how old are you?
51.
Okay, so do you really remember 76, 77, 78, or is that just before you really had those sports memories, right?
Bob, I'm one of the few. I'm probably the only one to station and went to the 1980 World Series.
Okay, so you...
At 7 years old, I was at the 1980 World Series.
I was still a C.
The excitement was there. I was a kid. Well, the excitement was because they had beaten the Yankees. They'd played the Yankees, 76, 77, 78, and then 80, they finally beat them. They get in there and played the Phillies. I think it was game 3 or 4. It was one of the two. Those were the ones in Kansas City. But no, but when I grew up as a kid, it was hating the Yankees.
Right. And for
that was the rival.
That was like George Brett was on with us earlier. He goes, Royals Yankees, not a rivalry. It's just not. And he's right.
Not anymore.
About that.
It was.
But for all of those people who have heard it was a rivalry, how many people are getting excited for this Royals Yankees playoff series? Not because they saw the Royals-Yankees rivalries of the 70s, but heard about it from either their father or their grandfather. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from. I don't know how many people are truly left that remember sitting there as an adult watching those games. I mean, you know, my dad was in his 30s in the 70s, right? So,
yeah, like, how much did your dad hate the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean,
probably
like,
hated them.
They did. Everybody, in our parents' age group and our grandparents' age group, they hated the Yankees. And they told us for all these years, the Yankees, Royals, Yankees, Royals. And we're all like, it's been 44 years. We've never seen anything like this. Now we get to see this series. And so for the last 44 years of hearing about everybody hating the Yankees or the Yankees hating the Royals and all that stuff, we get to bring it to life. I think this is arguably, besides L.A. and San Diego, the most intriguing DS that we have.
I look at it as a tale of two fan bases in Kansas City. There's those that are younger that don't realize how good the Yankees were, and those that are older, like myself, that remember Yankees, because there's just two different elements of Royals fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all remember that, as far as my age, that you grew up and you didn't like the Yankees. Then, of course, you hated the fact they had the YES Network and the Madison Square Garden Network, and they had more money than anybody else. The Royals actually had the highest payroll in baseball in 1989, if you believe that.
Right.
But then the cable television explosion, and everybody started hating the Yankees. The Yankees' payroll is more than the Reds or the Royals, Tigers, and Cleveland combined.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's why people started having this animosity towards New York, the evil empire. So that's why kind of the new era, the new age hates the Yankees, how much money they're spending. The older hates them for several reasons.
Shouldn't you hate the system, though, and not the team? Because it's the system that has allowed the Yankees to get away with murder, basically.
Yeah, but I just think that the older group looks at all these different things when it comes to the Yankees and just the importance of it. It's Kansas City versus New York. This is big. You know, it's always been kind of fun for Kansas City to us against the world type of mentality. But I do see two different factions, and I see it because sometimes at night we'll have that debate. Someone will send in and says, who's the greatest of all time? Is it George Brett or is it Salvador Perez?
Well, your generation, George.
Exactly. 100% it is. But somebody asks somebody my age, I'll say George Brett 100%.
Yeah.
You ask somebody that's 24 or 25,
they never
like
saw
our
George
young producers,
play.
They'll say Salvador Perez.
Right. But George, I mean, George is the greatest Royal
it's
of all time.
It's 100% George
Brett.
Bobby
Witt's number two. I mean, trending to be number two, I should
say. Yeah, it's 100% George Brett. Betting title in 3 decades, hit 391 season.
But Salvi probably right now is probably the second greatest Royal
No, I get
time.
It. But Salvador Perez, yes, at his position, you'll think one of the greatest all time. But George Brett's considered probably one of the greatest baseball players of all time, regardless of position.
You can make a case for top five baseball player.
100%. 100% George Brett. It takes me 1 second to answer the question.
I would say that there could be a riff in this system. I think that Bobby Witt Jr. is trending to be the greatest Royals player of all time.
Could, yeah.
I think Salvador Perez is obviously the second greatest Royal of all time. But let's play a hypothetical here. You could have a conversation with Sal and George. You really could.
It's hard.
But I'm getting there. If Salvador Perez and the Royals win a World Series this year, big if, they win a World Series this year, Salvador Perez would have two titles, and let's say he's a World Series MVP. Two titles, two World Series MVPs. George has one. Yeah, he's got the batting titles. But we all use the narrative that you're remembered for what you do in the playoffs and your legacy is built there.
Sure.
Salvador Perez, we all know. Everybody, if you don't like Salvador Perez in Kansas City, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Have you ever met somebody that doesn't like Salvi?
No.
Okay.
But I've met people that don't like George. Yeah. And I love George. I've met George a couple of times. I know that he gets a false, you know, rendition of who he really is.
Here's what I would say to
but
that
what
one.
I'm saying is if Sal wins two, and let's say he wins a World Series MVP, sure. That'd be two of those.
Yes,
that's two titles. That's one team, his entire career, surefire Hall of Famer, Royals Hall of Famer, Gold Glover multiple times, All-Star multiple times. I think you could have a conversation that Salvador Perez then would also be one of the best catchers of all time.
Oh, George. Yeah. They win this year. Salvi's a lot for the Hall of Fame. I think he's a lot for the Hall of Fame now. But, you know, we've got people who voted against George.
You could. That's because you could say he did it with two different groups of Royals. Like the one, and then he went through the tough times, and he did it with another group. That's unbelievable accomplishment. But I'll say this about Brett. We're talking, that was the time where just two teams went to the playoffs.
Right.
You didn't get to get in as a wild card.
Right.
The Royals won the first one, or went to the World Series in 14 as a wild card. They went to the playoffs this year as a wild card. Yeah. How many times would George Brett have gone to the playoffs had it been a wild card? No, but he went to the playoffs in 76, 77, 78, 80, 84, 85.
Yeah, but
85.
The talent was also not as great
then
as it is now.
You win a batting title in three different decades and considered one of the greatest ever. Yeah. It takes nothing away from Sal. He's considered one of the greatest in his position, but George Brett's in the argument for greatest player of all time.
But I also think, too, like, baseball is not football. And in baseball, I think we give more credence to the individual accomplishments than we do in football. Like, I think in football, if you're a quarterback or a head coach, you're solely judged on championships won. That's why Dan Marino will always be in the also-ran category, right? He didn't win any titles, right? But in baseball, I don't think we do that as much. I don't think we hold people up to how many titles you won in baseball as to whether or not you're a Hall of Famer. I think baseball lends itself more so to individual first and then team success is second, and nobody had more individual success in Kansas City than George Brett did. 70s, 80s, 90s, and today, you know, winning
but
the
batting
championship.
But there was never a doubt he wasn't the best player on his team. Never a doubt that George Brett wasn't the best Royal. Now, there's an argument. You ask people who the best Royal, let's say Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
But I also would say that I would disagree with that too, because all I've seen this entire postseason is everyone knocking Mike Trout's postseason record. Mike Trout's been one of the best baseball players in the regular season when healthy. Past 3 years, not great, but when healthy, Mike Trout was winning MVPs, winning batting titles, winning Gold Gloves.
And I think
everyone switches that narrative just for him.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what's he won in the playoffs? Nothing.
Right.
Bobby Witt Jr. already has more RBIs, more wins, and more games, you know, as a winning shortstop or as a player than Mike Trout. It's like, but if we're using baseball as accolades to what they do in their career, not their postseason, then why does it change for Mike Trout?
Because it's just whatever argument you want to make. I mean, welcome to 2024,
because he's not winning any games. You can make the argument about titles.
But that just debunks what we just talked about
games.
With Salvador Perez and George Brett. That just literally debunks everything you just talked about.
No, because he's not winning any games. Like, he's not winning.
But he's the best player on his team, no doubt.
No, it's fine, but he's not winning any games when you get to the postseason. That was the thing about it. I mean, he's only been
to the postseason one time, three games, Royals beat him.
Forget about titles. He's not even winning games when he gets there.
Yeah. And then really not winning games in the regular season all that much either.
I'm just wondering, like, some of those years, the Royals were like number two, just barely behind making the playoffs.
They had 102 wins and didn't make the playoffs, I think, one year.
Because
Oakland had 104.
It was ridiculous.
Mahomes didn't get to touch the ball in the second half against the Patriots. That rule changed. What happens if he gets to touch the ball? Then maybe he has another Super Bowl.
You know what?
Do that and everything.
Speaking of that game last night drove me nuts because people say, you know what? If the Chiefs would have lost, they would have changed the rule. It's like, you know how much of an idiot you are on tweeting
that? First of all, the Chiefs tried to change the rule, and they didn't do it.
It happened to Josh Allen. They changed the rule because of the crying Buffalo Bills.
It's the only way Josh Allen could potentially have success is to have to change rules.
The Chiefs, Tom Brady, as far as the GOAT argument between Mahomes and Brady and Super Bowl titles, Mahomes didn't get to touch the ball in that AFC title game.
Of course, Mahomes didn't score any points in the first half of that game either.
But I'm saying you take that back and you do it by different rules. Maybe Brady's not sitting there with seven.
Right.
And maybe Mahomes is sitting there with four.
Six and four. Brady could be sitting there, quite frankly, with five, right?
David Tyree.
How many does Brady have? Seven?
Seven.
Okay.
One with Tampa, six with New England.
Okay. Take away that one here at Arrowhead.
David Tyree one.
No, just take away
he
did take that one away. Take away that one here in Kansas City and take away the Tampa one. You're talking about a gentleman with five and Patrick has three.
Yeah, you are. And then that head-to-head, like if the Chiefs had played the Bucks.
If you took away those two, Patty could have two more. He'd have four. Before and five.
Okay, you you want to play that game, sure.
Yeah,
okay.
So within
the
margin
of play. That's the game you're playing.
Yeah, that's fine.
If the Chiefs win that game, they keep them away from it because I think the Chiefs actually could have beat the Rams in that rematch in the 100%. Super Bowl then.
Yeah.
So then Patrick has that one. And if the line would have played against Tampa and if the Chiefs played Tampa
he
like they did in the regular season,
they have five.
That was the difference. That was a negative one for Mahomes, plus one for Brady. That was the biggest game in their career.
And if Atlanta could hold on to a damn 25-point lead, you know?
Oh God! Yes,
you know what we're talking about. We're talking about him passing Tom Brady this year.
Yeah, big difference. You're right, 100%.
Why don't you stick around for the final segment? Because I've got a really interesting topic about your sex life. This is 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty and Binkley on the Roundtable here.
Awesome.
On 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Hate it or love it, the show is coming to an end on a Friday. We love it because you get to enjoy the rest of 96.5 The Fan. And do not forget some news for you today regarding other shows. Cody and Gold, they're out at Community America Credit Union in Olathe. Red Friday tailgate. They're giving away Chiefs Monday Night Football tickets. Free lunch 11-1 for the first 100 people. Casey Wolf and Alex's future wife, one of the KC cheerleaders, they'll be out there as well. Go see Cody and Gold and Olathe at Community America Bank. And you can get a chance to eat for free, get a chance to go see the game on Monday night, which we can talk to Binkley about here, who's still at the round table with Fesco and I. Great to see you, Binkley, as always.
Yeah. And I know you put off hip surgery for today, so we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, carry me down to my car after this.
We got Spectre will do that.
Yeah, he's got you. Yeah. He's a strong cat.
He really
ever
is.
Ever since he had that shoulder surgery.
Yeah. So we got the big game on Saturday, the big game on Monday, the big games on Monday. What are you going to do on Sunday? I mean, my God, there's no Chiefs. There's no Royals. Nah. I mean, God, you don't have a honey-do list anymore. So what are you going
to
do?
Exactly. Well, come in here and we go till noon on just talking football and ball and Royals. We'll have a lot of things to talk about till noon.
Yeah.
But then just going home, just chilling out, watching some NFL. So just watching another game, watching Red Zone. Red Zone, which we watched quite a bit on Sunday. But yeah, you just take a breather and get ready for Monday, man.
No doubt.
You get ready for what will be an epic night in Kansas City.
How are you going to approach Monday night? Because I know a lot of people have already been talking about, are you going with a two TV setup?
Yeah.
Which sounder are you going to have on? How are you going to approach this? Because I think you get the Royals for an hour before the Chiefs really kick off, so you can watch that game as a standalone game from about 6:38 to 7:20.
Sure.
And then when the Chiefs kick on, then you have the Chiefs and Royals going on dueling TVs. Who gets the sound?
Sound will be the Chiefs.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty much across the board for everybody.
It's better to watch football to me with sound on than baseball. Baseball you can, because it's what I've done all year. You always have baseball on in the background because you can enjoy that. Or if you really want to be good, which I do when I come in here, because I come in here during the games, do those audiograms, listen to Mitch and Dayton and Kling, because you know what happens before TV. It's so awesome because you see what's on TV.
It's like a replay.
I'll sit there because I can hear it in the speakers of the studio, and I was like, you get mad because, oh God, here comes the interception by Mahomes. So you already know what's going to happen. It's frustrating. But listen to the broadcast on the radio. That's what I would suggest, because they'll tell you what's going to happen before you're seeing it on TV.
Before you see it, yeah. How many people do you think at Arrowhead are going to be watching the Royals on their phone during that game, too?
Most of them. Most of them, honestly, or their buddy that's got their phone out and they're watching it, and hopefully, you know, they'll have it on the concourses or whatever. You know, they'll be updating people on the scoreboard and letting people know what's going on. It adds excitement to it. People will be cheering that. And
the random applause and cheers that are going to happen on Saturday or on Monday at Arrowhead Stadium. Like, it's going to be like 3rd and 2, and all of a sudden everybody's cheering because the Royals just won or something like that. It's going to be awesome.
It's just a monumental time in this town. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of these producers, you know, are a lot younger than us, and we're sitting here, you know, we'll do it. And I'm like,
but they're knowledgeable.
You were like 10-9 when these teams started getting good. I mean, there was such a drought where they weren't, man. Bob, when you got in this profession, there wasn't good things that happened in this town. When
they
I got
a turf on field,
when I got in this profession, when you got in this profession, Dusty, just good things didn't happen to us.
Yeah, right. It really wasn't. I mean, it was always like Loserville, USA, with our teams. Yeah. Right, the Royals were
Boulevard
losing 100
broken dreams, you know, right there between Kauffman and Arrowhead.
Yeah, Chiefs go 8-8, 9-7, 10-6, losing a playoff game, and everybody, you know, that we just never were able to taste that success. And, you know, for the last 10 years, the great success. But the one thing I've realized over the years since we started having this great success is that there is still a large portion of fans who are not able to enjoy this because they think it's going to end. And I really wish those folks would have an opportunity to let that pass go, to let Lynn Elliott go, to let 29 years of no postseason baseball go, to let, you know, all the negative stuff that have happened in sports go, and really truly appreciate this, because I think there are a lot of people out there, a good majority of people probably in our age range and older, that are just kind of sitting around waiting for that next shoe to drop. And that bothers me a little bit, because while you're doing that, you're missing this greatness that's happening before our eyes.
And we told managers like Ned Yost or something, like, you're going to enjoy this because you got to enjoy it. And I'll enjoy it when it's over.
Right.
I'll enjoy it. Well, Royals Chiefs, enjoy it now. Just enjoy the moment or what you're in. Let's not get too spoiled, like, this is not the way. Now, if you're younger, this way it's always been for you.
Right.
You
know, Yeah.
People like my age and Bob and Dusty and stuff like that, I mean, you grew up with so much failure with teams in this town, and you'd always look towards next year, but there's this excitement. And I think Monday's just a very, very unique day in this city.
Yeah.
It shows you what the city's all about. It's not flyover country like it's often been called. It is the epicenter of what happens in sports. New York, you add up their NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. The last decade, they have zero titles. Flyover country has
right,
four.
Right.
Do you think the Royals, like, what's your percentage the Royals beat the Yankees in this series?
I'm feeling really confident about it because they're loose. In the Yankees, I feel, have all the 100%. So I'm like 65%.
Okay. See, that's what the odds say. The Yankees have like a 67% chance of winning. 67.1% chance, I think, is what I saw the Yankees winning this series. I honestly do believe, though, and I'm not joking, I think the Royals win this in two. Like, I think they get to that point where the Yankees are just are so tight, Jay. And, you know, we've all done whatever in our life, right? Whether it's playing a sport, doing a job, whatever. If you go into a situation where you're tight and tense, you're not going to perform at your best. Yeah. You're just not, right? And I feel like the Yankees have that tense tightness around them. Aaron Judge has not had postseason success ever in his career. And he knows it, and New York's already letting them hear it. Like, this is a big, big series and a big postseason for Aaron Judge. And if he doesn't perform, he's going to be looked at as the greatest Yankee to never lead his team to a championship. And people will say he doesn't deserve to be in Monument Park and have his number retired and all that stuff. I don't know that I've ever seen pressure on an individual athlete like we're going to see with Aaron Judge in this series against the Royals.
And they're so worried about it. They're 100% worried about it. This is defining moments with Aaron Judge. Bobby Witt, you know, it's defining moments for him,
but
even though
no
the pressure's
on him.
No, there's not, but it's defining moments.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already being talked about. They keep talking about, you know, being first player since Jimmy Fox to have back-to-back RBIs. I mean, this could be his grand stage as well, but there's no pressure there. Keep on, because he's so young. Aaron Judge, honestly, with the pressure, because New York doesn't let you forget anything.
Right.
If you step out of line, they will not let you forget.
And you talk about pressure all week and all show of this about the Yankees and the Royals. It's like, if the Royals lose, and I'm not trying to put a bad, you know, juju on them, but if the Royals lose,
right,
it's a celebration still, because it'd be like, dude, they lost the Yankees. They got all the way to the ALDS. Yeah. Like, they were in 56-win team last year. The Yankees lose. It is Boone's getting fired. Judge is overrated.
Right.
Soto's not coming back. Garrett Cole sucks. Like, that's the different narrative of that. And, man, I don't know. The only thing I can base New York media off of is watching the movie 61 and how Roger Maris had to deal with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that was just a home run record.
Right.
Now they're protecting the king in the of the Bronx and Babe Ruth. But, like, you watch that movie and you think to yourself, like, if that's how it gets to one guy, imagine what this team does where everything is amplified. Plus, they went out and got Jazz Chisholm. If he doesn't do well, he's considered a bad move by ownership. So I love that there's zero pressure. Brett said today on the show, the Royals have zero pressure. And the Yankees have 100% of the pressure. And we know what that's like. You go look at it as a Chiefs narrative. When Buffalo plays the Chiefs in the playoffs, who has the pressure?
Buffalo.
Who loses?
Buffalo.
Thank you.
Yep.
It's just, it's crazy how that works.
It really is. Like, and again, I'm not just saying this because we're here in Kansas City. I don't think the Yankees stand much of a chance against this Royals pitching, man. Like, I really don't. And if the Royals get a 1-0, 2-0 lead in the first inning, Aaron Judge is going to have sawdust in his hands when he gets to the plate.
Oh, no question. And I know the Royals love those fences.
The Yankees never faced Walker this year. They only faced Reagans once. They faced Lugo twice. Lugo was dominant against
them. And he's got all that experience. I mean, it's just, you know, look at the Royals. I mean, they have playoff experience all over this team. This is not like a typical team that just gets there. Like Detroit. Detroit's very young with not much experience. And the Royals didn't have a lot in 14, obviously, either. But this team is loaded with guys with postseason experience.
If they win one game in New York, it's over. Because then...
What happens if the Yankees win two in New York? Is it over then?
It gets closer to the other side.
Yeah.
Because if you win one game in New York, you come back for two games. Let's say you win one in New York, you win both at home. You're up 2-1.
It's over.
Right? Then you go back.
No, you don't go back. It's over.
If you win 2-1, yeah, that'd be three.
Yeah.
So let's say you win one here, win one there. It's 2-1 Royals. Then you're going to get Lugo, Reagans, Waka, 1-2-3, no matter what, because there's no tomorrow.
Right.
And I don't see that scenario paying out. The only way the Yankees win this matchup is if they win both games in New York. They have to win both games in New York.
I just don't see the Yankees pitching matching up with the Royals pitching. And the pressure on the Yankees is going to be the most intense pressure we have ever seen. And the Royals have zero pressure.
That's right. Remember, go see Cody and Gold at Community American Credit Union in Olathe. Red Friday tailgate giving away Chiefs Monday Night Football tickets. Free lunch from 11 to 1 for the first 100 people. KC Wolf and KC cheerleaders there. Beakley, thanks for coming on. Go do nice things for people this week, your weekend. You never know, it could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe and stay kind. Have a great weekend.
You want to be loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays. This is where it happens. Come on and see. For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.